Hi, it's Paul Camilos. Welcome to Series 6 of Shooting the Breeze. Join me and my co-host Jacinta Govind alongside the STB crew as we cover women's hoops and women in hoops. We'll share conversations and get a little deeper with inspiring players, amazing coaches, and the legends from behind the scenes. Especially in this series, we'll be talking to dream chasers that give it their all and lead with their heart.
And she's such an inspiration to me, both in terms of her amazing court talent. She's a decent, good person. And now the inspiration she's providing to mums everywhere, two young boys. She's on the elite international circuit. She's giving back to her community with what she does around the Albury-Wodonga region. Like, she is such an inspirational person and player.
Jacinta Allen is Victoria's premier hoops fan. She joins Shooting the Breeze for a unique perspective on basketball, not just as an active community member in her local area of Bendigo, but also as Victoria's head of state. As the premier, she understands the impact sport and sporting communities can have in regional centres, but also the ripple effect nationally. We touch on the Paris Olympics and some inspirational female players, along with the importance of elevating the game through government backing, like the recent pre-Olympic at Paralympic Ball and 24, bringing together all six Australian national teams, both men's and women's, in the one event. Enjoy. Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. Joining us today is a very special and very different guest for the show. It's the Premier of Victoria, Jacinta Allen. Jacinta, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Oh, Paul, I'm thrilled to be here with you. It's terrific to have a chat about one of the great loves of my life.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that there's a lot of people who don't know the fact that you are a real basketball fan. In fact, your Instagram says it's a Lauren Jackson Stan account.
Yes, I'm a big fangirl of LJ. And also, I just love the sport. I'll confess straight up, Paul, I went nowhere near the elite heights that I may have wished and dreamed and hoped for. I mean, I played against Christy Harawa back in the day in under-14s junior basketball here in Bendigo. And, of course, Christy's had a big international career. But, I'm a big fan. I love the sport. I love particularly, obviously, watching the women play because they do play a different type of basketball to the blokes. I like the blokes as well. Don't get me wrong. I like both watching the men and the women, but it's just a great sport.
It is. And look, obviously there's going to be some listeners who don't really have a background on you, so maybe you could just give us a little bit of rundown on yourself, particularly for those listeners who are in different states than Victoria and also overseas.
Well, clearly my basketball dreams ended in about under 14s. I kept playing, but I'm Bendigo born and bred, and I have been the member for Bendigo East in the Victorian Parliament since 1999. I was part of a big change at the time. Jeff Kennett was the Premier at the time, and I was part of a big group of regional country MPs who got elected to be part of Steve Brack's first Labor governments. And I've mentioned earlier, loves of my life, representing the Bendigo community is truly the big love of my life. It's a big honour. It's, as I said, the town I grew up in. And then I've been really blessed over my time in Parliament to have the opportunity to serve under Premiers Steve Brax, John Brumby and Daniel Andrews in a whole range of different ministerial roles. And then as of last September, when Daniel stepped down, I was supported by my colleagues to become Premier of the State. So that's the very quick potted history. There's been a few twists and turns along the way. Married, couple of kids. We live here in Bendigo. The kids play basketball. We're part of the local community here, but really, really proud to have the honour of leading the state.
Fantastic. And look, I've got to say, it's great knowing that we've got real basketball fans in government, because let's be honest, there are a lot of things that basketball and other sports, people who understand sports in Parliament and in positions where they can have influence in how sports developed and how facilities are made available, which is really great.
I thank you for saying that, because I've seen up close in my own community just how important giving kids access to be able to have a run around the court, just to get in and have a go, to be part of a sporting club, to be part of the community, and then to make sure that those who want to grow their talent have the pathways for that. And that's something I've been particularly passionate about, is having the pathway opportunities for country kids to be able to go on and perform at the elite level. And my views, Paul, have really been influenced. My dad, who's 80 this year, he won't mind me saying that, he still runs, well, it's the biggest junior basketball club here in Bendigo, the Beavers. Give the Beavers a shout out.
Absolutely.
Dad runs that club, has done for decades. He's thinking of hanging up the boots, though, in once he turns 80, which is probably fair enough. But again, it's not just the opportunity to get kids involved in sport, which is really good for their physical health, their mental health and well-being, keeping them connected to communities. But it's also that broader community spirit that locks in the huge number of volunteers, the parents, the umpires, the coaches, the trainers. It's a huge community connection that you can get from participating in community sport. And then, as I said, for those who got the talent and the ability and the drive to go on to elite levels, it's making sure there's pathways for them as well.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about that, you know, last night as we record this, we had in Paris, the Opals play, which features Victorian country players, and they beat Canada, which was great. It was a very scrappy game.
It was a physical game, wasn't it? It was really physical.
Yeah, it got really tough. I mean, I lost count of the number of times Tolo hit the ground.
Oh, and every time she stood up and grabbed her back, we felt it with her.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, you know, the Kangaroos had a clean sweep yesterday as well. So seeing results like that says a lot about basketball in Australia. And one of the things about Australia is that we do get a lot of talent out of the country, out of the regional areas. Coming from a regional area, what do you think is the underpinning, the catalyst for that?
I think it's that combination of it's a sport that's so accessible. It's a sport that's so accessible. You don't need too much fancy gear and equipment. All you need is a ball and some runners and off you go.
Yeah.
So the point of entry is really easy. And then, and this has been developed, Paul, over a number of decades now. What we have in regional Victoria is we have this combination of really strong clubs, a strong junior basketball culture in regional Victoria, which means that you have people of talent, not just as players, but as coaches and managers and trainers and umpires. And so young kids are getting access to really top level coaching and support. We also have fantastic facilities in regional Victoria as well, whether it's, you know, our beautiful Bendigo Stadium, 10-court facility, but you go to Ballarat or Geelong or even some of the smaller regional centres. You mentioned the Opals, like Jade Melbourne is a great example of country talent now on the world stage. And that's the other thing, Paul, that I think is what I love about basketball and why I think we see so many regional people who've grown up in regional areas on the world stage. It's because you can go to your local basketball stadium and see these superstars in your own backyard. I remember my kids a couple of years ago, we'd watch the Tokyo Olympics on the TV. They were, obviously it was 3 years ago, so they were about 7 and 8 at the time. And then we went to the Bendigo Stadium to watch the Bendigo Spirit play the Melbourne Boomers, I think it was. And there's Kayla George. You know, we just saw her on TV in the Olympics, and there she is right in front of us on the court. And I think it's giving kids that exposure to that elite talent is both inspiring and motivating. And it also shows them that you can be a regional person, you can be a good country kid and a player, and one day you can be on that world stage.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. It's giving kids who do want to put the effort in that visual cue. There it is. There's a person. They've come from the same background as you, and look where they are today. It's really important. Now, obviously, one of the things that's always been a challenge for basketball is you need a lot of room. That is the one thing. I mean, I'm not talking about half court, but if you want to play the traditional game, it requires a lot of room. How difficult is it for some of the regional areas, particularly, to be able to develop facilities, to be able to develop talent?
Well, look, that is, you've got to have the facilities, and that's something, again, that over a longer period of time now, I use the example here, our Bendigo Stadium was opened in the 70s as a two-court stadium, and then it's been added to and added to and added to, and now it's a 10-court facility and about to become 12 with a further expansion that we're supporting. So it takes that ongoing investment in that those facilities and making sure too, we also do this as part of our school buildings. As we've got building new school gymnasiums, making sure that they are of a size and standard that outside of school times, the local basketball community can come and have access to those facilities as well. But there's no doubt the pressure for more hard court spaces is a really, really big one for communities around the state. And Paul, can I say, when you're the home of basketball here in Victoria, as we are, I think it's something like around more than 40% of all registered players are here in Victoria. So it does show that we are absolutely the home of the sport.
Yeah, it's look, there's going to be a lot of let's say disagreement between various states, but you
I'd welcome it.
know. Now, one of the things that I've found really interesting, I found really a great initiative, is the way that the Victorian state government's gotten behind basketball initiatives. So, for example, we had the Sydney versus Southside game at John Cain Arena, which was, I mean, we came down for that game, and it was amazing to see. The crowd was amazing. The place was just so loud. And there's the Ford Ball and 24 event. And I know from having spoken to the head of the WNBL, Christy Collier-Hill, there's been a lot of support from the Victorian government. Again, for people who probably don't understand all the machinery that goes behind that, can you give us a bit of an insight into what goes into getting government support for events like that?
Well, we have an approach here in Melbourne and Victoria that we are the creative and cultural and sporting capital of the nation. But to say that, you've got to be it, and you've got to keep attracting the big events. So yes, we do chase the big events, and the Ball and 24 tournament, the pre-Olympic tournament, is a great example of where pulling together that package where you had all six Australian Olympic teams, men and women, Paralympic teams, coming together as part of one tournament was a great showcase of the sport, and that had Victorian government support behind it. We also too we've talked about the support we provide for the infrastructure associated with the sport. We have high performance hubs across our regional centres, again about nurturing that talent as well. So it is about making sure that we're also listening to the people who run and play and administer the sport to understand what else needs to be done to ensure that you've both got that access for junior participation, and then how do you grow the depth of the elite talent and the pathways for that.
And look, and I know this is really a huge oversimplification, but quite often I'm sure that you encounter people who just think, well, your government, you can just throw money at a problem and make it go away. Now, I'm sure we'd all wish that was the case, but it's not.
No.
How complex is it for events like that? Because there's a lot that has to go on. From the point of view of government, how complex is it to pull all the right people and the right skill sets together to make it happen?
Well, because we've been doing this for a little while now, we've had this events culture. It means that if organisers are wanting to bring their event to Melbourne or Victoria, they can be confident that we know how to do it and know how to do it well. And Ball and 24 is a great example of that. We've also got the infrastructure and the facilities, but we've also got the people. We've got the people who know how to run events. And so that in itself attracts more events because people thinking about bringing an event to Melbourne or Victoria can see that what we've done in the past, and know too that you'll get the crowds. That's the other thing is Melbourne and Victorians love coming to a big sporting event, whether it was Ball and 24 or the Matildas games that we had earlier in the year. We had obviously the Matildas last year as well. Every weekend there's AFL footy on, the cricket and the Boxing Day test. We love turning up to a sporting event. So you'll also have those great crowds and the crowd atmosphere that really brings a great atmosphere to the game.
Yeah, it's Look, I'll be honest. Again, having experienced that game at the John Cain Arena, it was really well organised, great crowd. Getting in and out of the place was really good too. It was really easy, which speaks volumes towards what you were saying about being able to organise this. But also, you've got that precinct, which is so – it's so good to have, you know, like if you want to go see a sporting event, that's where you go. So from that, I want to ask you, you've obviously been to a whole lot of sporting events. In terms of basketball players, who are the most inspirational women that you've met through the sport?
Wow, that's – well, there's so many. I think you said inspirational women who I've met. Look, I got to meet Lauren Jackson last year at an event we were both at in Wodonga, and that was peak fangirl moment for me. Because I've watched Lauren play from, I remember every Australia Day, there's a big Australia Day weekend basketball tournament here in Bendigo. I remember seeing her play for New South Wales Country against Vic Country when she was like 15, because we had, you know, she was playing against Victoria. Went along and had a watch. She was, you know, she was amazing back then. So I've seen her career, and she's such an inspiration to me, both in terms of her amazing court talent. She's a decent, good person. And now the inspiration she's providing to mums everywhere, you know, two young boys. She's on the elite international circuit. She's giving back to her community with what she does around the Albury-Wodonga region. Like, she is such an inspirational person and player. So she's pretty top of the pops. I love watching Kayla George play.
Yeah.
I love watching Kayla George play. She's just hard at it. And her game against Canada was a great example of that. She's good, strong physical. She was banging down the threes. She was just, I love watching her play. And then the other player I just love watching and have got to know pretty well is Kelsey Griffin, who came to Bendigo as an import.
Yes.
She fell in love with the town. Also, she fell in love. I think she wouldn't mind me saying that. And she's stayed, and she's gone on to make a great contribution to Australian basketball as well. So they're, for me, three outstanding women. And then, you know, because I grew up with her, I used to love watching Christy Harrower play as well. She was a tough, strong little point guard who had a great three-point shot and could always perform in those big clutch moments. So I've given you more than one.
That's okay. That's fine. I mean, it's an interesting group that you mentioned. I mean, I think last night particularly, as you said, you know, Kayla was there. She was out there. She was not going to step back. And that three that she dropped just on the buzzer, and you could see in her face, I'm here to play.
Yeah. You could see it almost from the minute she came off the bench. Yeah. She hadn't been on the court that long.
That's right.
I think Sandy Brondello had just brought her on because it was getting pretty tight and physical. And obviously Izzy was in some early foul trouble. And she just came on ready to go.
Yeah, and I think it's good to see play like that, because it's telling people, you know, this is a team that, yeah, they might have had a bad game. Their first game. They had a bad game their first game at the Women's World Cup as well. And
good point.
They're not going to step back. They're going to stick to their guns. They're going to make it play. Yes, they need to hold on to the ball a bit more, but
that's a life lesson for every team.
That's true.
The Boomers against their game the other night lost that a little bit in the last quarter, but yes.
Yeah, and I suppose one of the things that I really wanted to ask you particularly about in relation to sport and the way women's basketball and what's happening now. You know, obviously we know that the WNBL there's a divestiture happening from BA. There's going to be a more commercial approach to the game starting from when the new management team takes over early next year. Do you think that, you know, this is going to make big changes to the league and to the women's game in Australia? I think it's going to be for the better, but I'd love to hear your opinion too.
Look, I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic because Larry, who I've also got to know in recent years as well, who's clearly made big investments in the men's side of the game, can clearly see a good commercial opportunity and an outcome for the women's, which means women's sport is up there with men's sport. It's worth watching, it's worth investing in, it's worth growing. So I think that's what gives me a sense of optimism, that by having bringing others to come around, and we've seen what Jerry Ryan's done for women's basketball here as well in Victoria, with Southside Flyers and all its previous names as well. He's been a big backer of women's basketball. So I think it demonstrates that if you've got good people like that wanting to, you know, invest in the sport, I think it shows a really strong future for the sport. And the reality is, and I've had a bit to do with this with the Bendigo spirit over the journey, it can be a bit tough under the previous, what is now moving to be the previous model, to get a team out on the court, particularly as we, you know, during COVID years and advertising and sponsorship became really tight. It was really difficult. So moving to this model, I think, gives me a cause of real optimism, because it means there's a lot of people who want to see women's basketball in this country succeed and grow in the same way we've seen the men's version grow in the last decade as well.
And I think, look, me personally, I think it's going to be good for regional Victoria, well, not just regional Victoria, but regional centres as well, because most of the major cities have a team. So now if you're looking for expansion, apart from Brisbane and southeast Queensland, it's got to be regional expansion that's got to happen now. I think that's also being supported by the fact that the NBL1 has so many regional teams playing within it as well. From your perspective, in relation to those teams and growing the base of the game, do you think that this is going to assist in providing those pathways from association right the way through to, you know, professional league, and allow players to be able to reach their full potential?
Yeah, look, Paul, you've just described exactly why I think it's important that we have regional, alongside the capital city teams, you have regional teams at that top level in the WNBL level, because it is that pathway opportunity. You can go from playing biddy ball. My kids, when they first started, their coaches at biddy ball were Bendigo Spirit players.
Wow.
So they'd get, you know, Bendigo Spirit players would take biddy ball after, you know, on a Monday night, and then on the Saturday night you'd go and watch them in the WNBL. So it does present that continuum. And again, it's for country people where you've got to travel. You know, often you have to travel to be able to get access to higher levels of training and facilities and outcomes. If you can do more of that closer to home, it will certainly grow your potential as a player.
Yeah, actually, you touched on a really important point there. A lot of people don't necessarily realise how far the players have to travel to play. I know that, having spoken to Belinda Snell, she used to say that they would travel huge distances for her to play. And when I first heard it, I was like, that's astounding. And it's important, as you said, for people to realise that in the regions, you're talking about big distances to get to a game.
You are, and it's late nights, and it's mum and dad driving, you know, and Belinda's a great example. You know, she's another terrific, really strong player. I think from memory, she's another Gippslander as well.
Merbu.
Correct me if I'm wrong on
Merbu that. North.
And Merbu North is, you know, deep into South Gippsland. So there's a lot of kilometres, a lot of hours on the road to be able to, you know, drive up to Melbourne. You go up for your game on your Friday night, you've then got to drive back home. It's a big commitment. And that's also where, you know, you've got to give a shout out to, whether it's mums and dads, aunts and uncles, other family members or people who've supported our players from the regions, because they've literally driven them to be able to achieve their success.
Yeah, you're right. It is the volunteers who are supporting the game as well. Jacinta, I really want to thank you for your time. It's been great, and it's great to hear your perspectives and your opinions on the game. And hopefully we'll get to see you at one of the big events in Melbourne or in Victoria somewhere.
Thanks, Paul. It's been great chatting to you about basketball. In the meantime, I've got some junior basketball commitments tonight that I've got to scoot off to.
No problems. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Paul.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.